one that we are not going to go into the much of the biblical base, because we all are aware of that, and we have been also challenged of the importance of the Spirit of God in the leading of the workers. And so what I'd like to do is just to share a few thoughts on the need for pioneering from the Scriptures, and then I'm going to go into real practical stuff. And so, maybe we ought to just pray at this time. Father, we come to you now and ask that you would be in control by your Holy Spirit, that our time together would be profitable for the extension of your kingdom, for the glorifying of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The thing that always comes to me when I think in terms of the need for pioneering in the United States, as we think in terms of the assemblies, is that we need to put more emphasis as local assemblies within the United States on the work nationally. And for that, I want us to look at Acts 1 and 8. It says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And one of the things that I find in looking at the assemblies is that we don't seem to take hold in that both. We seem to spend more emphasis on foreign missions than we do on home missions. And it's still in the book, both. At the same time, we are not to give precedence to one over the other. As a matter of fact, if we're going to give precedence to one, I think it should be home, because we have to start at home before we can go overseas. And so at Jerusalem, and that both is very important, at Jerusalem and Judea and then Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. So I want to really, you know, challenge us to look at this afresh. The other thing that concerns me in pioneering also is the fact that we seem to have accepted the concept of one person going out as a norm. And I don't necessarily think that, you know, that's the pattern we see in the New Testament. And so again, I would challenge us as leaders, as workers, to look again at this. I, as a young man, just being called to go into the ministry, that first year in my call was very turbulent, and I went to spend some time with a worker who was in the ebb of his life and his ministry, and I saw something that was very, very heartening. Here was a man who was no doubt one of the greatest pioneers of his time. And some 30 years prior to when I was present there, he had gone out and seen God work in a mighty way to raise up about 6 assemblies that, you know, were raised up, and they had their leaders in there. And but somehow, over the years, the same man, and I was a witness to it personally, was used of the adversary to tear them down in his death. And as I wrestled about that whole thing, I said, but what was the problem there? And I failed that the problem was that there was no team concept. There was no division. That a pioneer is not necessarily the one who should shepherd the flock. And that's why when our brother Elliot talked about that man who said that God says go and get McKay, I said, praise the Lord. You know, it really came to where I'm at, because I really feel that in my own ministry, that's where I'm at. You know, in terms of the pioneer worker needs others who are gifted in other areas. And we cannot afford to, hold on to different works as our own. We have to recognize our abilities and our gifts, our God-given gifts, and use them accordingly. And that's, I think, what happened in that particular case. However, praise God, I also know another man who I'm very close with, who was raised up of God to start maybe about, I would say, 7 to 10 assemblies. And he's still alive today, and he's over none of them. He's just rocking back in his chair, and he's there for counsel, and these young men just come driving into him, call him Pops, and he still has vision. Last time I was with him, he couldn't hardly get up off the bed. And he's saying, you know, we need to get that theater in that town, and we need to rent it on a Saturday night for those young couples in their 20s. Man, he's 80 years old, and he's talking like somebody who is 17, and he says, and we need to start a movement among these young married couples in the city to give them the word in the theater. I said, man, that's radical. Visionary, still pioneering, and he can hardly walk. But he had the team concept and found younger men to shepherd the different flocks. So I won't take time to go into the scriptures of the team concept. One that really spoke to me as I was studying this was Acts 20. The rest of them are so evident. But in Acts 20, in verse 4 and 5, we find that, it's the kind of trick thing, but you might have seen it already anyway, I'm sure you have, where you have, in verse 4, they accompanied him into Syria, that's Sopater and of Berea, and the Thessalonians, and Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius, and then you have Timotheus, and then Tychicus, and although there's only 6 people mentioned there, I come up with 9, because Luke is there, and Paul is there, and you have a company of about 9 people, and they might not have worked together in a long time, but it shows us the team concept. And so again, let's be praying and thinking in this area of the team concept. The other thing that I want to say before I try to get into some statistics is, as a young man in the assemblies in Kingston, Jamaica, really excited about the Lord and wanting to see God do something in my life, you know, I get so frustrated when I would sit there and I hear the older ones get up and revel about the good old days. In the 1930s, they said, when Harold Wildish was preaching the gospel in Ray's Court, it was to go for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It went for 3 months. A revival broke out and we saw this one saved and that one saved. And oh, the God, the Holy Spirit was moving, and they reveled in the good old days. And I just sat down there and I said, hey, I wasn't born then. I said, that's wonderful, but I want to have my good old days when I get old. And you know that I used to talk like that, and I used to criticize, but do you know that in the month of July this year, after 20 years being saved, I had 2 different brethren in my home, And do you know what we talked about? He said, Don, you remember the good old days? He said, you remember those days by the seaside? I said, yeah, I remember. And then the next guy came and said, you remember those days and those crusades when you were praying while I was preaching and God was saving souls? And as those brethren left, I got on my knees and said, Lord, like a brother was saying this morning, it's so easy for us to get cold. Oh, God, where is the fire that's once burned? Let it burn again and again. I agree with Brother Van Ryan. It is when we get on our knees, when we spend time with God every day, when we allow the Word to get into our hearts and to purify us. Oh, I tell you, the freshness, it challenged me. One brother who I would spend hours in prayer while he was preaching. We saw much blessing. And while he's at my home, do you know that he spent sometimes 3 hours a day in the upper room? I have an attic there, and he called it upper room. And boy, he's 3 hours a day with God. And that just really tore me up. I says, man, you got to cut back on all this running around and get your priorities straight again. Oh, yeah. Because our priorities are all mixed up. But anyway, pioneering. What I've done is, and I sure hope you take this in love, brethren, I have sought to try to get some of the latest statistics on the assemblies in the United States to come to my subject of the need for pioneering in the United States. And it has kind of appalled me that, you know, we don't believe in planning and statistics and so on. And so what has happened is that when folks who have a burden in this area try to even get information from our assemblies, we don't respond. And so as I wrestled over this whole thing of, you know, it's a big stuff, pioneer in the Midwest, where am I going to go so I can really show something viable? I remember a few months ago getting a survey in the mail from Lois Fleming. How many of you remember that? Okay, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, you know. Lois Fleming sent out surveys to every assembly in North America. But most of our, well, almost half of our folks just threw them in the garbage. And I'm just going to show you what happened as a result of those of us that responded. And so I called Ken up in MS Bible School and I said, Ken, I need some statistics. Your daughter was doing a graduate degree at Wheaton and she took as her subject the Plymouth Brethren, a pilot study of the open Plymouth Brethren, the assemblies in North America, responsive to change. And this is what she wrote her thesis on. And she computerized the whole thing. And so I called Lois and I said, hey, what do you have? And I have a copy of it right here, which is, you know, 100-and-some pages. So I've gone through it, and I am very much in sympathy with what her report is. Now, one other thing I want to say before we get into our statistics is, and Don Norby touched on this, I think the history will bear out that when we have the greatest growth, spiritually, numerically, in our assemblies is during the first generation. And that's something I arrived at before I even came here. I saw it in the islands, and when coming here, the history builds. And it's because of what Don said. That the first generation is men of conviction. You see. Because they embraced something that they came out of something. And embraced this willingly. It wasn't something they grew up in. And boy, they believe God. I can tell you stories of my dad, and he didn't talk at all. I had to get it as I traveled around. Everybody said, "You're Charlie Case's son. Oh, your father this and your," and I go back to him with these stories. And say, "Oh, that's when I was just young and foolish or something like that." I mean, when he was young, and they said, "God says it, I believe it." One time they backed him up with a gun and said, give me all your money or I'll blow your brains out. He said, man, if there's a God in heaven, that gun can't fire. And he pulled the trigger, it went click. So he ran down the road. We got a man mad here, you know? And you know, when you're young, God, you say, I trust you, you know? So I talked to him when he was about 65. I said, Daddy, I didn't. Oh, I won't do that now. You know, that tore my heart up. I said, Daddy, I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to hear that that's how we must trust God. The point I'm making, and I hope you get what I'm saying. Brethren, we need to have the insight to realize that the principle is still the same. We need to free up the young men among us. I got some comments when I walked in here Tuesday morning about a young man that I've been discipling for 5 years. We started an assembly 4 years ago. No men. And I said, okay, we got some boys in there, 8, 10. Those boys are now 16, 17. And this is the first time I started to see a little fruit. Because, you know, when they're around, they horse around, and they jiggle on the piano and stuff. But they went away for the weekend, and folks says, boy, in the worship meeting, they got up and opened the scriptures. They were such a blessing to the other young people. Oh, your son was there. Free them up to grow. Give them responsibility. And we will begin to see some exciting things happen within the assembly. Go to ask Mark and Richard if they'd hand out those handouts at this time. A survey that came back in, which is considered to be very, very effective, because as survey goes, when you have 53% return to your survey, it's considered to be an excellent survey. And so I'm just going to quote some things that Lois Fleming found out when she got back her surveys of the assemblies within North America and put them on the computers. And we find out that the assemblies from this survey, and I want to say that, again, it's just a survey with a 53% rate returns of, as you're going to get your sheets, of approximately 1,100 assemblies in North America, and there are many more, and some did not answer the questionnaire, but from what we got back, we get an average. And so we're basing what we're going to say on this. The assemblies are increasing at an average rate of approximately 2.4% per year. And over a long range basis, that's very, very poor. We see that 63% within the assemblies are over, or 63% of the assemblies are over 20 years old. And we have about 6 through 19, or 25% are about 6 through 19 years old, and 12% are less than 5 years old. So we are not pioneering like we should. We're not starting new works like we should. And the West Coast seems to be the place where we see the most healthy trends in growth. And again, I'm just talking about new ones starting. Now, 76% of our assemblies average less than 80 persons at the Lord's Supper. Now, by some of our standards, that's good, you know, because I've been in quite a few, and they build the chapels that way. They don't want them to get bigger. Recently, I was in Eddyville, Iowa, and, you know, beautiful brand new building, the gymnasium, and then I look at the chapel, and the chapel, everybody comes in and want to know if that's the Sunday school room over there, you know. People who, but that's that's how many of our folks think, and, you know, Lord bless them. That's fine. If they keep starting new ones, and if they're growing, and they hive off, and great. And there are others, like Hal, who believes that, you know, we should see the numbers grow. Praise the Lord. You know, I like that too. And so, when we talk about assemblies, that's what the average is. 80% present the Lord. Average. There are only about 3% of our assemblies having over 300 in there at the Lord's Supper on the Sunday morning. It's about 3%. And so, the thing that's most discouraging in this report, I think, is the fact that 26% have no youth group. No youth group in 26% of the answers that came back to this survey. So there is much need for prayer, and there is much need for strategizing. We need to definitely, and again, I don't have the answers. I'm like Glenda, you know, Tony, who, as young men, we come here, we share the burdens we have, but we're kind of looking for, you know, direction, because, you know, we are not expected to spearhead the movement of the assemblies. We look to older godly men for direction in these areas. And, you know, as we look at this, it's heart-rending to see these statistics. And there are some recommendations made in terms of growth, the master plan for making disciples by weaning on Charles Arm, which is a good book. It's in my library, and I've read it. And it deals with cell groups, type growth, and so on. Now, it's been said that, well, let me move on for the sake of time. The report suggests that one of the single most greatest issues facing the assembly, according to the research, is leadership. 40% of the response felt need in, you know, some aspect of leadership. They felt that there was a definite need there. 11% felt there was need to be development of future leadership. 10% felt that there needs to be an improvement of pastoral care or visitation. 9% felt that the leaders should have been better equipped, or they should have more elders. 5% felt there should be full-time workers added to the work there locally. And 3% felt there should be a handing over of leadership to from the older to the younger, and then 2% felt there should be appointments of deacons. I was very encouraged to see the percent that had deacons within the assembly, because in my assembly background, that was just not mentioned at all. And to see that we have been moving towards this, which I think is very biblical, it's very clear, this direction, it encourages me. It really encourages me, and so I feel that was a real plus. There were many pluses there for us, but that was one. Now, I just want to share one person that's been a tremendous example to me in the area of handing over leadership, and I had almost forgotten about it until I was talking to Dr. Neff, and we found out we had an old friend in John Perkins. Now, John, he's a young man who was born in Mississippi, and he got saved at age about 28, 29 in California. God moved him to go back to Mendenhall, Mississippi, and start working in the poor black regions there of Mississippi. As he got there and found the traditional churches and no access to them, they would kick him out once they found out him preaching the gospel and so on, he decided that he would start with the children. And he worked with them for 20 years. So you can just put it now. If you start with a 5 or 6 year old, 20 years time, they're 25, 26. And John stuck it out. His testimony, you need to read it. Won't go into that. But he stayed with them through high school, through college, and then at age 50, he did something remarkable. Having made a name for himself nationwide, having built a real solid organization to the poor, and to Dr. Neff and his wife spent some years down there ministering to the physical needs of the people, clinics and so on, he stepped out and handed over this organization to a young man, Lem Tucker, that he discipled and trained and sent through school, 28 years of age. And he moved from Mendenhall, Mississippi, because John doesn't sleep more than 2-3 hours a night. And he couldn't stay there, because if he stayed there, he said, I couldn't take my hands off it. He went to California and started another organization there. And the last time I was with him, to show the tremendous insight this man has, he says, after I get to age 60, if the Lord permits, the Lord be not come, I move back to Mendenhall. I said, but John, you're not going to go back there and take over everything? He said, I'll move back there because I want to be a grandfather to my grandchildren for the rest of my life. Building generations. Family. But I'm not saying to you, brethren, you're to give up everything. I'm challenging you to some thinking along those lines. You see, we miss out on some of the key abilities among us because we don't let go of the reins early enough. My tendency is to let it go too early. And I have to grab it back. But as a pioneer, I guess I'll do that.